You know, Gay Man was an important part of this Bible study years ago.
She was.
She's very faithful.
Yeah, she comes.
Well, we're going to be starting Revelation chapter 12 today for those of you that are listening in, that we are glad that you're listening in. And it is a cloudy day in Iowa, a little overcast, a little bit on the cool side. East Lake is not quite frozen over yet. But that's the only reason it's not frozen over is because there's a bunch of geese and ducks that are keeping it a little area open with open water. But other than that, it's getting cooler and colder along the way. All right, we're going to do a little review. Get five little questions here over last week's Bible study of Revelation chapter 11. And so the first one is, who are going to trample Jerusalem for 3.5 years? Who is going to trample Jerusalem for 3.5 years?
Years?
The two witnesses?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
That was Sharon. She got the answer wrong.
Witnesses.
This is trample. The word trample. It'll be the Gentiles. The Gentiles will trample Jerusalem the 3.5 years. The last 3.5. It's not a good thing. You know, Gentiles are just basically would be the unbelievers in the world that just do not like God, do not like Jesus, and they're going to come against Israel. All right, number two, who are described as the two olive trees and the two lampstands in chapter 11?
Witnesses.
Two olive trees and two lampstands. Now, Sharon.
The two witnesses.
Yes. That's who they
said.
Are. The two witnesses. Is that what you said, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought wearing good.
Oh, you're fine.
The two witnesses. We don't really know who those two witnesses are, but some believe it's going to be two of the three people we talked about last week. Who are they?
Moses, Elijah. Enoch.
Mm-hmm. It'll be one of those. It'll be two of those three.
And so they're described as the olive trees and the lampstands. That's
right.
That's the witnesses, both of them. Okay.
Because you got oil. Oil comes from the olive trees that is used in the lampstand that brings light. So the oil is kind of like the Holy Spirit. They're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit as they witness for the Lord. And they're pretty powerful guys. I mean, they're going to be evangelists by all means, and then some. They got power to anybody that wants to hurt them or harm them. They've got the power to make them into French fries, I think. And it says their fire will come out of their mouth. All right, who comes up out of the abyss? We find in chapter 11. Who comes up out of the abyss?
The beast.
Yeah, the beast. Could also refer to him as the Antichrist. The beast.
What was that?
The beast.
Oh.
The beast or the Antichrist. Sometimes referred to as the same. Number four, the seventh trumpet sounds. What does this represent? When the seventh trumpet sounds, what does that mean?
The second woe has passed, the third woe is coming.
The seventh trumpet is the third woe.
Oh.
So what is that woe?
Earthquake?
No, it kind of happens. But it's the second coming of Christ.
Oh.
The seventh woe. I mean, the seventh trumpet is the second coming of Jesus.
Why would they refer to that as a woe?
Because he's coming as the judge. And he's going to come to set everything straight. I mean, that's kind of when you've got all the nations who want to destroy Israel. Jesus will come, and just by the words of his mouth, he will destroy them. And there's just some... You got the Battle of Armageddon, which we haven't got to yet, here in Revelation. And
we should skip that.
And I think that comes with the seventh.
You just want to do trumpet. Chapter 1 and chapter 22. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. The last one for review is what is seen in God's temple in heaven at the end of chapter 11? What do we hear for the first time is seen?
The Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant is going to be revealed and will be seen in heaven. Ark of the Covenant. So, all right, so that's a little review. How did you do?
Not too bad.
Everybody, did everybody pass, or you got to go to the principal's office?
You know, we can talk about that last week, and I understood it when I left. Today?
Yeah.
Where does it go?
I know.
It's old age. I can't absorb anything.
All right, well, let's go to chapter 12. This will razzle-dazzle you even more, Norma. In chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, it says that there, you know, it talks about two signs that appeared in heaven. Who are they? You know, sign one is referring to as a woman. But this woman now is... takes us back to Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11, where we find that this woman is the same as Israel. Israel is going to be looked upon as this woman because it's referring to the stars that there's like, I think there's 11 stars or 12 stars, but it goes back to the sons of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. Each of those sons became the tribes of Israel. And so this the woman that is described there in verse 1 and 2 is Israel. Because we find that Rachel was the last wife.
So the pregnant woman is Israel then.
Yeah.
Not Mary.
Right. Well, right here.
This one.
This
yes.
one.
This particular one is yeah. Israel. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we find that Rachel, she died at childbirth, after childbirth, didn't she?
When she had Benjamin, she died.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's kind of where... You know, she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. I mean, Benjamin was the last son born, and then she died after that. The second sign is who?
A dragon.
Yeah, a dragon.
Red dragon.
And it's a red dragon, and it is how big?
Yeah.
It's really big dragon.
Enormous.
And I couldn't help but to think about what country has a dragon.
China.
Yeah.
China.
We saw a lot of mm-hmm. dragons carved in marble or stone.
And red is mm-hmm. very popular color. It's very significant in China.
Yeah, red as well as yellow.
Red and yellow, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so the dragon now, this is who? When we talk about the dragon, we're talking about who else?
The devil?
Yeah, the devil or Satan. You know, the word Satan comes from the Hebrew word that means adversary. It's not a good an accuser. Satan means accuser or adversary. So we go to the second one on our worksheet here in Revelations 12. The whole chapter now, there are seven persons in all that are being talked about, but we only have five here in this chapter of chapter 12. There's only five that are mentioned. So the first person out of the seven that we see here is depicted as a woman, and that takes us back to what we talked about already. It's Israel. Israel is depicted as a woman. You find that in verses 1 and 2. And then we talked about the second one as well. That next person is who?
The red dragon.
That's just the dragon.
The dragon.
You know, and that is Satan. The third one is found in verse 5. Reference to the ascension. You know, who's being talked about, and who is it that we know that ascended into heaven?
Jesus.
So it'd be Christ, yeah.
Christ.
We put Christ in there. Christ means Messiah, the anointed one. He ascended into heaven after how many days when he came back to life?
160 days?
40?
No.
40? No.
No. Well, yeah, it is 40.
It's 40. 40 days.
40 days after the resurrection, he ascended into heaven. Because then the disciples had to wait 10 days before Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. That's 50. Pentecost, pente means 50. 50 altogether. So it's 50 days from the time Jesus was resurrected to the time that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. So then the fourth one you find in verse 7, the name of an archangel.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Michael.
Yep. Michael. We only know of two of the archangels, the names of them in heaven. You know, Gabriel is one, and now we have Michael. Michael is usually one that is one with a lot of power and who does a lot of judgment for God. When Michael's name is mentioned and he shows up, it's usually not a good sign. He's able to do things at God's discretion that brings judgment. And then the fifth one, verse 14. Here again we find that it is a woman who represents the Jewish remnant of 144,000 being persecuted by Satan and protected by God. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, how sometimes you refer to a country is, you know, how is she doing? How is the Lady Liberty doing, you know, in America? But the 144,000, it's the offspring that come from the Jew, the remnant of the Jews of the 144,000. And so this is a woman that is referred to there in verse 14. So that's five different people. We only have, not everybody's kind of got a real name there.
Okay, so this woman is the same woman that we've been talking about that gave...
No, it's a different one. It's got to be a different one.
Okay.
And we'll get to that later here as well. Okay, we just want to make another point here. You know, going back to Michael, the archangel, just want you to know that in the book of Job, we find in the first chapter or two of the book of Job is that, you know, Satan is kind of wandering around there in heaven and talks to God. And it's where God says, what do you think about my man Job? You know, and that's where Satan kind of goes like, well, the reason he is the way he is because you protect him. You put a hedge around him. But, you know, you take off that hedge or you do something to the guy, he won't love you and he won't be faithful to you. He'll say things about you that, you know, where he'll sin. And then God says, well, go ahead. Do everything you want, but don't take his life. So what happens to Job? He loses
everything.
He loses everything. And then he also loses his health at the very end, to whereby his wonderful wife says to Job, what?
Curse God.
Curse God.
Curse God and get it over with. You know? But did he?
No.
And he did not. But I go like, you know, if I was Job, I just don't know if I could have been like him. You know, either. So I just bring it out that, you know, there, we find in Job where Satan is able to access heaven. I can't figure that one out. Because I always think of heaven as a place where there is no evil at all. So there's got to be a place somewhere in heaven where God meets him. I don't know where that is. And they're able to have some dialogue together. All right, let's move on to number three. Revelation chapter 3. The dragon is described as being the size. What do you have in your Bible?
Enormous.
Enormous.
Seven heads, 10 horns.
Okay.
Seven crowns.
He says a great dragon.
Okay, so he's great. Big. The color. What color do you have?
Red.
We got red. So here you have a huge red dragon that shows up here.
Seven.
And he's having how many heads?
Seven.
Is he a little weird looking?
There's 10 horns.
10
and 7 crowns. Well, he needs 7 crowns if he has 7 heads.
It doesn't go hand in hand, does it? Crowns and.
That's 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So this takes us back to Daniel. Now we have to go back into the Old Testament. And we find that Daniel first spoke about this whole scene here. And so if you go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 and verse 24, you will find that in Daniel is speaking about 10 nations and 7 rulers. And these will be empowered, be given power by the Antichrist that we find here in Revelation. So this is a connection we got. You know, Daniel could do some, what was the amazing thing that Daniel could do?
The lion's den.
Interpret dreams.
He was an interpreter of dreams. He could have dreams that only God could give him, because remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he wanted his magicians and his wise men to tell him what he had dreamt. And they couldn't do it. And so somehow he found out about Daniel. And then Daniel kind of said, well, just give me a minute and I'll get back to you as far as what you dreamt. And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar his dream. And what he saw in that dream was a huge statue. And you probably remember the statue was very big, very tall. The head was pure gold. You know, and as you went down, it was different kinds of metals. Until you got down to the ankles. Then it was more of a iron and clay. And then it's got 10 toes, which probably a little bit of metal, a little bit of iron, a little bit, but more clay. But you know what's going to happen to that whole statue if it's got feet of clay?
Tip over.
It's going to tip over. But what we find in Daniel explains it to us as far as what each of those metals that he saw in that dream, it means kingdoms. It means different empires that will happen in the future. And so Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. Therefore, Daniel says that his kingdom, the Babylonian Empire, is the head. It's the gold, pure gold head. And so so I just kind of want to make that point. We'll just move on here. It says, we find also in Daniel, it talks about that, he says there's four great beasts. And those beasts, he also identifies in his book as being four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. So these are world governments that are going to rise from the earth. This is something that is going to happen in the future. He only can go by what's present in his day, and that's Babylon, the empire of the Babylonians. And so, number five, it says Daniel 7, 2 through 6, God has gifted Daniel, and you got to keep this in mind, that God has gifted Daniel with the interpretation of visions and dreams. And he does a lot of this in the book of Daniel. It explains these things that he sees that are somewhat, we go like, what is he talking about here? But he does point out some of the interpretation of these dreams that he has. Who's another guy that God used that was good in dreams, interpreting dreams? Before Daniel. You know who he is when you hear his name.
King David?
No. Before.
Remember Joseph?
He was hauled down to Egypt, and he got put into prison because he didn't give in to Potiphar's wife's coming on to him. And it was when he was in prison, he was in jail with a baker, the king's baker, and started interpreting dreams. They're in prison, and then also he talked to the Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, of saying that, I mean, Pharaoh had the dream of, remember the seven skinny cows and the seven fat cows?
Yeah. Famine.
Yeah. This can be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So it was like, hey, king, I think we better store up some grain. And that's how his family came down. I mean, eventually, Jacob and the rest of the boys who even sold him into the slave trade, they came down to Egypt, and that by this time, Joseph has risen to what rank?
About the head, not the head, but the...
Number two guy.
Yeah.
So he's like vice president of Egypt by the time they come down. So we just find, you know, that, you know, God can do things that we just would say is impossible. And we know that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Now, do you think they fed those lions before they threw him in? You know, I mean, chances of him surviving the lion's den is, like, human speaking, to be like zero. But he made it through. Daniel had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened to them?
They were thrown into the furnace.
Yeah. Because why?
They wouldn't bow down.
They wouldn't bow down to worship Nebuchadnezzar. So they threw him in the fire, threw those three guys in the fire. When they looked in there, they saw not three guys, but they saw
four.
Who do you suppose that other one was? You know? Could have been Jesus. That had been in there with them. We don't really know for sure, but protected them from the fire. How do we know that the fire was really hot? Because the ones who threw him in
died.
They died of the flames because they heated up the furnace hotter than normal. And the ones who threw him into the fire, they died because of the heat of that furnace. But those three guys survived and they came out. Didn't even smell like smoke, did they? Well, when they came out, I think they said, "Holy smokes." So, okay, we are, I just kind of put in there, like Daniel chapter 2, there's a different, he had different visions. The first one is about the statue, is in chapter 2. And then that's where he talks about the appearance of a huge statue. It was awesome in appearance. The head was made of pure
gold.
The chest and the arms were of
silver.
The belly and the thighs were
brass
or bronze.
Okay.
The legs were
iron.
The feet were partly of iron and partly of baked
clay.
And he doesn't mention the toes that are on this statue. But then he goes on in, he has another vision in Daniel chapter 7 where he puts together that the head becomes then a vision of an animal. And so in Daniel chapter 7, the vision there that he sees, the head is what animal? Which goes along with Babylon. Some of the archaeological digs that they have found in Iraq is the lion. They have sculptures of lions, and lions would be at, you know, as you enter doors of some of the more government buildings of that time where the king was at. I mean, they would be protected by lions. And sometimes the lions had wings on them as well. So then the chest and the arms.
Wait, what empire is that?
Okay, that's the Babylonian Empire.
Babylonian
Empire. And so the chest and the arms is a vision of what animal?
And it tells us in Daniel?
Yeah, it'd be the 7th chapter of Daniel, I think.
I don't think so.
Give me a verse.
Let me see here.
Daniel.
Verse
2. Let me check it out here, Norma.
Well, oh man.
Daniel.
The 4th beast, which was during the rest.
They're going to find Daniel.
The iron and claws of bronze. That was
good. Chapter 7. I got it in here in my Bible. It just says vision in Daniel chapter 7. You got the head is the lion. You've got the chest and the arms of silver that are the bear. The bear. And then that has to do with the Medo-Persian Empire.
Medo.
And so that takes in like Iran and up and around to the left if you look at Iran, the Persians into Turkey kind of a thing, Medio Persians. The next one that you find there is the belly and the thighs, that is the leopard. And that is in reference to the Greek Empire. And it kind of gives you kind of the times that those empires existed. And then the irons of the legs of iron is the would have to be the Roman Empire. And that is when we look at verse 4 of chapter 12 in Revelation. He talked about that the male child was to be killed. You know, we know that that has to be in reference to the Roman Empire, because who was in authority at the time that Jesus was born?
Romans.
It were the Romans, and it was Herod the Great.
Herod, yeah.
Yeah, Herod the Great. Because he's the one that ordered that all male Jewish babies in the vicinity of Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, to be killed. So, any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, I'm glad I don't hear any, but... Daniel 11, verses 31 through 43, that's where you read, it'll talk about world empires and the final empire has 10 toes, kind of a thing in there. But that's where it takes somebody who likes to really... dig further into all of this, some theologian that compared Daniel to the book of Revelation and come up with things that way. All right, let's just move on. We go to, I believe it's number 7. You know, what are the names that are used in chapter 12 of Revelation? Some names that are used for Satan in this chapter. What do you see? Are some names given to Satan?
Dragon.
Okay, dragon.
Dragon, yeah.
Dragon is one. Any others?
Serpent.
Serpent is another good one.
Devil.
Devil. Look at verse 9. There you find a... another one up there. You know, even referred to as the ancient serpent. Ancient means what?
Old.
Long time ago, old. You know? So the ancient serpent puts you right back into the Garden of Eden. He's old. He's been around for a long time. So he's a, you know, he's referred to as a dragon. He's referred to as a great dragon, the ancient serpent, devil, and there's one more in there. Very interesting one is in verse 10.
Accuser.
Yeah. Accuser of the believers. And in Hebrew, Satan means accuser. Adversary and accuser in the Hebrew language. So it's just kind of interesting. We get, all of a sudden, you got all kinds of different names for Satan that are in this chapter. The good part is number 8. It says, what are 3 ways to overcome Satan? Got that in verse 11. What are 3 ways that we can overcome Satan?
Blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
The blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is who?
Jesus.
We know that's Jesus. Jesus Christ. How else?
Testimony.
Yeah, the testimony or God's word. You know, the importance of having God's word in our hearts. Knowing what God's word says. Having the testimony, our testimony is no better than what we know about God and His Word. And then, and there's one more there.
Didn't God say, if we resist Satan, he'll flee from us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Kind of the last part of verse 11 there, it says, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. It, you know, it's really putting your life on the line, dying for your faith. Because you know that if you die for your faith, God's promise is for us to be with Him. And so it comes down to sacrificing your life, if need be. And we know that what we're finding here in the Great Tribulation is, will that opportunity be there?
Probably.
It will be there, yeah. Because you'll be hunted down. As a believer, you'll be hunted by the Antichrist. Okay, number 9, verse 12. Why is Satan filled with anger? Why has he got his shorts in a twist?
His time is short.
Yeah, his time is short. He's in a fury. He's really upset. He doesn't have much time left. He knows that this is the last part of the Great Tribulation time, and he doesn't have much time left here. And so you got the last one on our worksheet. It says, who are in the crosshairs of the unholy Trinity? We talked about the unholy Trinity last week, I believe. Who makes up the unholy Trinity? You find in Revelation.
Antichrist.
The Antichrist is one?
Political leader.
False prophet. He's religious. He's a religious guy.
False prophet. And then who's the other one?
Satan himself.
Yeah. Antichrist. Okay.
Who is this person?
Antichrist.
False prophet.
Obey
God's commandments.
Third one.
Third one is Satan.
Oh, those
who.
Antichrist was the first one.
Yeah, you could have those.
Isn't that the same as false prophet?
You got false prophet is more the religious guy. The Antichrist is going to be more of a political figurehead. But he's going to be run by Satan himself. I mean, he will be subservient to the devil in all his decision making and what he does. But the rest of the, you know, he's going to be one of these guys that people are going to like, and he's going to be able to do powerful things that will just deceive many people. And we know that Satan himself is a deceiver. So it fits in with all of this. And that's why it's important to know what's in the Bible.
I've got just a question.
Yeah.
God through Satan or the angel out of heaven, because he challenged God, right?
Yes.
Well, then then did you say that when he was arguing with Job, he was back in heaven?
Yeah, it says he was, yeah. I just got to go back there, Dave. It's a good thing to bring up there. Job. That's what Job says. You know, that's like one of those things that I can't wrap my head around it either. Job is right before Psalms. You find in chapter 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? And Satan answered. He answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. That's what kind of goes on. But it's just verse 6 there, you know, like, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them.
To heaven.
Yeah. It's someplace, heaven. I don't understand it.
Maybe it's purgatory.
I have a question. How do we know the Antichrist is going to be a political figure?
He has to be somebody that the rest of the world will follow. And so he's going to gain the power of the people who are going to be behind him. They're not going to rebel against him. They're going to want to be for him, go with him. And so that's why the false prophet and the Antichrist kind of work together. Because you've got religious people, there's going to be like a one world religion and a one world government. But there has to be somebody who's over that. And that's kind of how the rest of the world all of a sudden, that's why Israel becomes such a key country, that you always want to know what's happening in the world as far as that has to do with Israel. Because Revelation, as we'll get into that, we're going to find that all the other countries are going to hate Israel, and they're going to want to annihilate Israel off the map. You already hear that today. You hear that from Iran. And from a lot of the Muslim world is like, you know, we just got, you know, if we get rid of Israel, that would bring peace to the world. But they can't touch Israel because Israel has us as one of their big allies. So if you can get rid of the U.S., they're going to be more able to get at Israel. And you go like, well, that could never happen, could it? There's a day I used to think that. But nowadays, it's a crazy world. It keeps getting crazier. So
I just fear if we lose these two Senate seats in Georgia, and I saw this morning that we are down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be the beginning of?
Could be. Mm-hmm. That's why world events are important to keep track of, but especially Israel is always the key one. Because there's a lot that's going to involve Israel.
I'm not really very optimistic about winning those two seats. I don't know why I'm not. I just don't have a good feeling about it.
Well, to me, you know, it's, you've got corruption going on in our own country, which includes Georgia. But we'll find out. I mean, we'll find out as things go on. Sharon, you're dismissed.
Was it something we said?
No. She's got another commitment.
I'm going to go make kroonkake with my daughter.
God threw this rebellious angel out of heaven. And that was that he was saved.
Yes.
And he challenged.
Yes.
He took a lot of angels with him.
Yep. Yep.
But yet, he was discussing with Job. And he was back in heaven.
Yep. So I don't know, you know, the time frame when this happens. I mean, Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. But still, I mean, he's been cast out of heaven.
Yeah.
Ahead of time. You got that in Isaiah. Isaiah, I was kind of talking about a king, but he's also talking about, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, where it talks about that he was one of the most beautiful angels.
Yeah.
And yet he let evil, and where that evil came from, I don't know. But he became an evil angel, and God sent him hurled him down to the earth. And I mean, and it's kind of where you get the serpent, you know? He's a sneaky, crafty person. But he doesn't have all the attributes that God does. I mean, God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. The devil doesn't know everything. And he can't be everywhere at once, because God asks him, so where have you been? He says, well, I've been roaming around the earth. But, you know, he's got his demons that he's got contact with too. But it's one of those things, I don't know, Dave. But it's, I go like, what's he doing in heaven? He's like, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to be able to get glimpses of Satan. You know, because that's not there.
That's why I want to go there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
To not see.
So then the last part of 10 is that those who are the crosshairs of the unholy Trinity, it's those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's the last part of the worksheet.
This number 4, number 5. I don't know.
4?
Eating or what?
Let me just turn it over here. Okay.